a Sam gave in Sunday morning, Sunday school. This song was on my mind. If we was more like soldiers in the army and more disciplined in the way we'd go out and witness, more souls would come to know the Lord Jesus. And then last night, as I was thinking about what other song to sing, and I picked out the other hymn, I thought, well, both of these songs I learned in school. Both of them I learned in morning break service to school. And that's something to think about. You know, we still live in a country where the school children get to learn and taught the Bible. And that's something we could thank and praise the Lord for. My pleasure now to call in Brother Freddie for the message. Thank you, Brother Lawrence, for the PA, and Brother Tony for the PA.
Good evening, and thank you very much, Brother Jeremy. Good to see each one out tonight. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Tonight we could be considering two little words, fear not. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. Fear not, for I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Verse 10. Fear not. Doesn't say it there, but he's continuing on that same thought. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. You know, just before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. But how many times we don't really believe God? And we let our hearts do get troubled and fearful. You know, we live in a world filled with anxieties, especially in America since the 9/11 attack. People are wondering where the next attack will be. People are fearful of the financial system collapsing. People are fearful of losing a job. People are fearful who will be the next murder. There seems not to be any safety. Place, anything secure. Let me say tonight, saints, the only safe haven is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his promise is, trust me, and I'll see you through life. And at the end, it's heaven itself. Thank God. Thank God for that. Fear not. In the first verse, I have redeemed thee. And I want to put alongside of that purchase, Because redeem means to buy back. You know, in spite of Israel's deliberate sin against the Lord and rejection of him as their rightful king, the Lord says, fear not. And saints, tonight, in spite of our rebellion and our deliberate sin against God, he says, fear not, I have redeemed thee. What a purchase. What a purchase. Over 22 times, the word redemption is mentioned in this book. And the prophet seems to give a threefold aspect of redemption. First, he talks about their physical redemption from physical bondage. He talks about how he delivered them out of Egypt when they was under the Pharaoh's hand who had taskmasters over them. And we can all identify with that tonight. How God has delivered us from physical bondage. But then he talks about from inward personal bondage of sin. I'm sure everyone in here tonight can identify with that. And then he talks about their redemption when he shall return and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of us can identify with that tonight. Because saints, one day he's coming, it could be tonight, to set up his kingdom and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we shall be with him. What a day it will be. But as my mind was focused on that, my mind went back to the Old Testament, where before one could become a redeemer, he had to possess at least four qualifications. First, he had to be willing to redeem. Go back to the book of Ruth. You know the story there. Boaz tries to redeem or buy a piece of land from Naomi. But first he knows there's one nearer kin than he. And he must first go and see if he's willing to purchase that land. He goes. The man says, yes, he's willing. But then Boaz says, you have to take Ruth to be your wife. Oh, he says then, that would mar my inheritance. I'm not willing. Our beloved saints, our Lord was not like that. He proved his willingness by leaving heaven and all it had. You might say, well, what did it have? Friends, let me tell you tonight, saints, heaven is a place where no sin could enter. He left it and came to a place where it was filled with sin. Heaven is a place where there's no more pain, no night, no sorrow, no death. But he left it and came to go on a cross for sinners like me and you. Thank God tonight he was willing to take our place. Secondly, a redeemer must have the right. And that's true right there in that same story. It must be one of a near kin, one of our own brethren, it says. And Boaz knew it was one nearer than he. And Boaz goes and sees his near of kin. And as I just said, he was not willing. You might say, Freddie, well, how do you liken that to the Lord Jesus? Friends, we heard that Sunday night. God obtained that right by becoming man. I can't get to the depths of that. God became man that you and I might have a new nature. That's beyond me tonight. For him to leave all of that. Come not only to be man, but to be a servant. And be submissive to man. And let them put him on a cross. A God who has all power. I barely can take that in, but I know it's true. Thank God for that. Thirdly, he must have the power to redeem. And the Lord Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, said, all power is given to me both in heaven and in earth. He has all power. He spoke the world into being by the word of his power. He has the power. Finally, one must have the price to redeem. And I tell you tonight, that touches me. The Lord Jesus was the only one that had the price. And he paid it with his precious blood. Thank God. Because saints, if he had not, we would have all been doomed for hell tonight. Thank God he had the price. And was willing to pay it. All my sins, so great, so many. We sometimes say, in his blood, I'll wash away. Thank God for that tonight. What a purchase. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, in whom we have redemption, our through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redeemed. Oh, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I have. Saints, we've been redeemed. What a sin. Secondly, in that same first verse, fear not, I have called thee, thou art mine. And if I put purchase alongside redemption, I must put grace alongside of I have called thee. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, for by grace are you saved through faith. We sometimes sing, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. As I was thinking of that, I have called thee. And I put grace there, and it's only by grace that he called us. I thought of 10 double calls in Scripture. We'll only have time to just briefly mention them. The first one is in Genesis 22:11. No need to turn there. And there it's Abraham. Abraham! You know the story. God has given Abraham a son, one he's longed for. One he has all his hopes and dreams for. And now God tells him, go ahead and offer him on Mount Moriah. Oh, it must have broken Abraham's heart. But you know, Abraham obeyed. And let me say this before I go any further into it. I think every time that God tests us through a trial, he seems to test our faith, our obedience, and our love. And this is what he does here with Abraham. Abraham, do you really believe me? Then offer your son. And it says, Abraham obeyed, got up the very next morning. Didn't question God. And then he says, Abraham, do you really love me then? Offer it. And Abraham built that altar and placed his son there and bound him and had that knife ready to bring it down. And God says, Abraham, Abraham. Now you know the story. God provided a ram in the thicket. And Abraham's son was spared. But oh saints, God did not spare his heart to pain. He brought the knife down as it were upon his son. And there he took my place. In your place. I don't think there's any scene in the scripture apart from Calvary that portrays the Lord Jesus more than this scene. There on Mount Moriah. Abraham, Abraham, I put alongside that a message of grace. But then another call. Jacob, Jacob. Joseph has made himself known to his brethren. He sent back the horses and chariots to bring his dad back down to Egypt. Jacob is on the way back. Jacob is not sure that's what the Lord wants him to do, to leave Canaan and go to Egypt. He's not sure. But then God, he built an altar, and God says, Jacob, Jacob, fear not. Go down to Egypt, because there I'll make a great nation of you. And I put alongside of that assurance. And many times God has called us. And we've been in doubt of something and we've heard the call say, Freddie, Freddie, Frank, Frank, Mary, Mary. And we've got that assurance. Thirdly, Samuel, Samuel. God had called 4 times before Samuel really got the message. You know the story. And there I put alongside of that, discipline. And sometimes I thought of it that God have to call and call and call and then discipline. You know how Eli had not disciplined his own family. And God took them. He told Samuel, I'm going to take them. And God put them in battle and there they lost their life. There Israel lost the battle because Eli failed. And I wonder how many times that I failed in my home or to others. And God has to discipline and say, Freddie. Ready. Listen. Listen. But then another call. And it's Moses. Moses. You know the story. Moses taking care of his father-in-law's flock. And he sees the bush burning and he goes near to see it. The Lord said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. They're on holy ground. And there God gives Moses a message of deliverance. God tells him, go down and bring his people, deliver them out from the hand of Pharaoh. Saints, let me tell you tonight, we have a great message. And he's calling you and me again. Freddie, Freddie, you have a great message. A message of deliverance. How God could take a sinner and change him into a saint. What a message we have to tell. Brother Jeremy was talking about it tonight. But then we come over to the New Testament. And it's Martha. Martha. And I put alongside that a message concerning service. You know the story again. I don't need to go into detail. Mary's at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she's adoring him and worshiping and listening and learning. And Martha's doing her best to make the Lord comfortable. To give him the best. But she sees Mary over there. She's concerned about Mary. Says, Lord, don't you care? I'm doing, Martha's letting me do all the work. The Lord said this. Mary has chosen the better part. Listen to me tonight, saints. Sometimes we get so occupied with service and forget to sit at his feet. Oh, he might be calling me tonight again and saying, Freddie, Freddie, yes, I want your service, but don't forget to be at my feet. And one of those places we're at his feet is at this table on Sunday morning. I missed it for a great part of my life. I could never get it back. But if you've never done it, oh, Christian, you don't know what you're missing. At his feet, worship. Something he longs for from me. Martha, Martha. Simon, Simon. And there I put alongside that a message concerning love. You know the story. Simon says, Lord, they might deny you. John might, James might, but not Peter. Lord, not Peter. Lord says, Simon, Simon. Satan is going to see if you're sweet. But Simon, I prayed for you. You know, the Lord knew what he was going to do. knew how he was going to fail, knew how he could take his name in vain. Said Simon, I still love you. I still love you. Christian, let me encourage you tonight. In spite of where you might have failed, he says to you, I still love you. What a loving Savior we have. Saul, Saul, old of my time. Saul, Saul, a message of conviction. You know the story. Paul said, Lord, what must I do? Lord, what will you have me to do? And we all can identify with that. When the Lord called us and we heard the Spirit pleading and we trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. But there's three more. These first seven is God speaking to man. But then, listen at what the Lord says. He says, they shall say on that day, Lord, Lord, open unto us. If you're here without Christ tonight, that will be too late. That will be too late. And then he says again, many shall say, Lord, Lord. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart, take them away. I don't know them. The sad part, I believe, saint, there'll be many there that say, Lord, I taught in Sunday school. Lord, I sang in the choir. Lord, I even taught from the podium. That's sad. And to go out and spend eternity forever in hell. Friends, if you're here tonight without Christ, I pray that you would trust me. That final one, my God, we'll never, ever get to the depths of that. Why art thou forsaken? What a call. As the Savior calls to the call, who has now forsaken him, not because anything he had done, but because what we had done. I tell you tonight, indeed, a message of grace. I have called. Thirdly, fear not, you find that in verse 5 and verse 2, I will be with you. You know, I tell you, you don't know what that meant to me tonight. When Brother Allison prayed and said those words, just what I'm going to quote you in a minute. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Brother Frank gets up and he quotes those same words, and these are the words I wanted to dwell on a bit tonight. I know the Spirit led them to sing. And I felt that the Lord Edmund wanted me to speak the message to them. Fear not, I will be with thee. And if I put purchase alongside of redeem and grace alongside of calling, I must put fellowship alongside of this. I will be with thee. Go back to Genesis 28 and 15. The Lord's talking to Jacob. You know the story. Jacob's running away from home because of Esau. Esau's about to kill him because he took his blessing. He stole his birthright. And now he's all by himself. He comes to a place called Luz. And there he goes to sleep. There he's in a dream and he sees the angels ascending and descending from heaven. And at the top, he sees the Son of God. And there, the Lord Jesus says this to him, Jacob, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places, whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Notice the promise of companionship. I am with thee. That's safety. Could you be any more safer than with him? And look at what he says. I will keep thee wherever you go. Jacob, every step you make, I'll guide you. That's guidance. Then he says this, Jacob, I'll bring you back to the land. That's his personal guarantee. Saints, he says the same thing to you and me tonight. I will be with thee. I will keep thee. I will guide your footsteps. I will bring you back into the land. Fear not. Fear not. And then he says almost the same words to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. You know, there were good reasons for Joshua to be strong, wasn't he? He had God's promise. He had God's word. And he had God's presence. God's promise, a sure victory. God's word, a safe guide. And God's presence, a sustaining power. I am with you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, you probably heard me say this before. If you say that verse backwards, you get the same meaning. Say it with me. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. And I understand that the verse means this. I will never, 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 ever leave. What a promise. What a promise. Whatever the circumstance you might be going through with, he says, I will be with you. I'll tell you, his presence always brings content. Always. Isn't that what the hymn writer says? He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will, a wall of fire about me, I have nothing now to fear. With this manner, he my hungry soul shall fill. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, ever leave. Forthwith, fear not, I have loved thee. And I put alongside of that favor. What favor for God to love one like me? You know, Paul writing to the Romans says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But then he says this, but God commanded this not toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a difference. We who were unlovable. And you see, human love is given to those who are lovable. But God's love embraces the unlovable. Thank God for that. Thank God. At the time of man's greatest need, nothing but the blood of Jesus could satisfy that need. As I thought of that, thought of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there we see the source of love. God, way back in the councils of eternity, loved us before we were ever born. Often I say God planned it. The Lord Jesus provided it. And the Holy Spirit empowers it. Then not only we see the source of love there, but we see the extent of love. The whole world that reaches me and you right in here tonight. Then we see the sacrifice of love. He gave his only Son. Then we see the results of that love. Whosoever believeth will not perish. But whosoever will not believe will perish. That's the third part. Fear not, I have loved thee. Fifthly, fear not, I will gather thee. I love this one. And I put alongside of that hope. What a hope we have. At verse 5, you read that. Fear not, I will gather thee. Turn to a voice comes to mind. It's in Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who are remain and are alive, those who are dead shall rise first. Then those who remain and are alive shall rise together to meet the Lord in the air. What a sound to hear, saints. It's the first time you will actually hear his voice. And it'll be a voice that will waken the dead. But I often like to think, what a sight to see. Because then it will be the first time that we'll really see him face to face. No glass, no veil, face to face. We're looking at him. What a sight to see. John seen him in the glorified body, and John said his face was brighter than the noonday sun. What a sight. You sometimes sing, oh, that will be glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory for me, for you. It could be tonight. It could be before we get out of this building. We will see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Saints, you're looking forward for it. What a sound to hear. What a sight to see. What a song to sing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That will be our song throughout eternity. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Then I often like to say, what a meeting to enjoy to be in his presence. Where it's fullness of joy. At his right hand it blesses forevermore. What a day that's going to be. What a day. What a comfort to experience forever with the Lord. Never be separated again. Forever with him. No wonder Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Acts 1:10 says, why they look steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come back as you have seen him go into heaven. Saints tonight, not an angel, not Gabriel or Michael, this same Jesus will come back the same way. Up through the clouds, back through the clouds. Together, you and I, to be forever with the Lord. What a hope. What a hope. I will gather thee. Hope. What a promise. Fear not, saints. He's coming back. Lastly, fear not. Ye are my witnesses. And I was so glad Brother Jeremy put out those two songs, because that's what I'm closing with tonight. And I felt the Spirit of God leading in the prayer and the song. And I put alongside of that responsibility. Saints, it's our responsibility to tell them that he has loved us, he has redeemed us, he has called us, and one day he will gather us. It's our responsibility. Are we willing? Are we willing to tell others? Acts 1:8 says this. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, we don't have to fear. He says, I will give you power. Where does the power come from? The Holy Spirit. Says you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon. What have we to fear? You know, someone may be talented, may be trained well, maybe had great experience, but without spiritual power, he's ineffective. On the other hand, one may be uneducated, no training, no experience, but endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, can turn the world upside down for God. It's the Spirit. It's by His Spirit. And we often see that. As we close, you know, he said, go into Jerusalem. And we often say, and it is true, that's home for us. That's home. But while I was studying this, it probably come to you years ago, it just came to me. Jerusalem. Lord, why tell them to go to Jerusalem? He says, well, that's the place they spit on me. That's the place they nailed me to a cross. That's the place they beat me. That's the place they put that crown of thorns on my head. Tell them first. Tell them first. Saints, we see the grace of God, don't we, again? But then he tells us to tell them. And then it says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm so glad for that part of it. Because there those apostles took the gospel to the ends of the earth. And tonight you and I are beneficiaries. I'm so glad of that. You might say, Freddie, I can't witness. I just can't talk. I can't say anything. That might be true. But listen, saints, you don't have to say a single word. The world's not reading the Bible. They're not coming to church. But listen to them as I close. They're reading my life. They're reading your life. And before I came to this meeting tonight, I said, oh God, what are they reading in Freddie's life? I got cold pumps over my heart. What are they reading in my life? Is it Christ? What are they reading in your life? I trust tonight that they're reading Christ in our life. That we'll be a good witness in this land and wherever we go. Saints, the time's coming very soon. I'll no longer be able to work. The day of grace will be close. God's mercy will be ending. Oh, may God help us to be a good witness. After He has loved us, redeemed us, gonna gather us, what more could we do but tell us? May God bless the word to us. Bless us. Father, tonight, truly, it is a challenge to us. After you've done so much for us, after you were willing to part with your only son, and Lord, after you was willing to give your weary life, what more could we do tonight? But let the world, Lord, help us let them know through our life, through our witness to them, by speaking to them. Whatever it might be, Lord, help us to tell them that you love them so much that you give your life. We trust, precious Spirit of God, that you'll take the word and use it to all our hearts, that we may be encouraged. And might be a little challenge here as well, that will heed your voice and tell others of your goodness and your mercy. Part us with your blessing, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate your coming. Trust that the Lord will use the word to encourage us all.